So in the desire map, what we do is we take all of that group of feelings that were, you know, what we would deem as negative. And as a master desire map mentor now, I know that feelings aren't negative or positive. They're all just a compass for our soul. They're always just a signal in the GPS for, are you in alignment or are you out of alignment with your soul's purpose?
You're on an adventure for the soul. Whether that means you're chasing mountaintops or conquering complex life situations or business challenges, you want to make every moment count. You find satisfaction in being an explorer. You don't just live, you experience. You understand that life has texture and crave real authentic support during those pivotal moments we all confront. This is why I have invited Anne Marie McKenzie to join us today. Anne Marie counsels deeply in self-leadership through emotional intelligence, guiding you to create a handcrafted life and business that intentionally feels good. She works with people who are ready to get open about living soulfully and is the go-to experiential master desire map mentor and transformation guide to living and doing business in ways that sustain the soul. Meditation, doTERRA essential oils, and truth bomb readings are just some of the many spiritual tools she uses to strengthen the heart-mind connection in her sessions. Anne Marie offers curated, intimate programs for entrepreneurs, corporations, business, and women's circles, providing feelings-based experiences that encourage people to get real, get creative, get messy, and get clear. Welcome, Anne Marie, to I'll Have What She's Having. I am so excited to have you here.
Thank you very much, Amber.
So just so that our listeners know, I adore Anne Marie. I have been following her for quite a few years now since I first connected with Danielle Laporte's work through the Desire Map. And the Desire Map came into my life in 2013. At a pretty pivotal moment where I was seeking reconnection with my soul. Essentially, I was just really looking for a way to befriend myself and reconnect with my emotions and my emotional intelligence and activate all of that stuff. And then all of a sudden, there was this, you know, something on Facebook circulating about this desire map thing, and I felt resonance with it. So I dug in and eventually learned that Anne Marie was a Desire Map facilitator in the community, and ended up later actually taking one of her Desire Map for Business courses. And it was a really beautiful experience. Her leadership and facilitation style is really fun, but also super, I would say, like, grounding and effective. Like, you actually feel like you're really with someone who is present for you the whole time that you're on this journey with her. And like I was saying to you earlier, Anne Marie, the Desire Map itself was probably one of the biggest shifts for me in terms of how I was looking at my life and how I was really tapping into my own internal guidance system. And it really shifted things for me once I was practicing my core desired feelings and really connecting with them. So it's a privilege to have you here because you are so integrated with this work. And I think it's something that's actually quite powerful for the time that we're in right now. And so I just wanted to start off by inviting you to, first of all, share a little bit about yourself in your own words, and maybe also take us on a bit of a journey of how the Desire Map is a part of your life and what it means to you and what it can mean for all of our listeners.
Absolutely. It's such an honor to be here and have this opportunity to connect with some like-minded, heart-centered people as well. the desire map came into my life very similar to you, Amber, that I was just craving more. I wanted things to change. I wanted them to be different. Most importantly, I just wanted to feel differently than what I did. And I had no idea how to get there. I had tried other modalities, such as counseling, and it wasn't getting me to the place that I longed for, even though I didn't really know where that was at the time. And I remember I was in a really big depression at the time. I used to experience bouts for 6 months to a year. And my mom had sent me a movie, Jim Carrey's Yes Man. And so I just started saying yes to everything because I wanted to get out of this funk and I didn't know what else to do. And I was walking downtown Squamish and I ran into an old friend. And she was like, Annie, it's so great to see you. I've been wanting to reach out and connect. There's this event coming up in Vancouver and I think you would love it. And I said, yes, I'll come. And she's like, don't you want to know what it is? I'm like, everything that I do with you feels good. We always did soup exchanges and vision board nights. Like, she was really phenomenal at gathering women and creating connection. So I just said yes. And I'm like, okay, what did I sign up for? And she said, my two favorite authors, Gabby Bernstein, Danielle Laporte, are talking. I'm like, never heard of them. And so I went to this event. And at that time, Danielle is who I resonated with. Gabby is in recovery. And she was very much all about transcendental meditation, meditation, meditation. And at that time, I believed that I could not meditate. And then we had Danielle Laporte on the other side. She's like, well, I'll have a ciggy every once in a while, which she doesn't really anymore. But, you know, and she'll have a glass of wine. Like, she just seemed more attainable, I guess, at that time. She said one thing on that stage, and the one thing that stuck with me was, what you say no to is just as important as what you say yes to.
Yes.
And that was my gateway into the desire map process. I read the book. I wasn't willing to do the work the first time I read the book, but I just started working with that mantra. What I say no to is just as important as what I say yes to. And I learned how to build boundaries. I am a giver. I'm an empath. I'm a highly sensitive person. I'm female. I've grown up a caregiver to other people. And so no just really wasn't in my vocabulary. You know, add on top of that being an Aries, add on top of that being, you know, competitive. I didn't know what that word was and the impact that it can have on your life. And so learning how to set those boundaries and say no is really what created space for me to start to visualize a future and a life for myself that I could love. And when I was ready, I dove into the work and I began realizing that the desire map process is really all about emotional intelligence and developing a deeper connection between our heart and our mind. Emotional intelligence is simply about learning how to identify our emotions, communicate our emotions, and show up with more compassion and empathy, first and foremost to ourselves, so that way we can have more empathy and compassion for other people.
Yes. Yeah.
That's huge.
That's really big transformational work just right there. And and that is a process. That connection is a process. One of my, you know, favorite quotes from Danielle Laporte and from the Desire Map, and you will know this very well, is, you know, knowing how you actually want to feel is the most potent form of clarity that you can have. And generating those feelings is the most powerfully creative thing that you can do with your life. And that really speaks to me of the way that the desire map doesn't just guide you to the feelings, but it guides you to the generative acts that actually lead to the transformation. Because we can connect with our feelings and how we want to feel, but then it's like, how do we take that to the ground? How do we mm-hmm. take that to our day-to-day lives and making shifts there? And I feel like that's something that you get really well, and it's something you've experienced and mm-hmm. integrated. And I just wanted to invite you to, yeah, speak a little bit more about that as well. Mm-hmm. You know, how does the desire map, what's the process? How do we connect with it all through those stages of shift and transformation?
When you read that quote, and I mean, I've been doing this now for almost 6 years, and the desire map came into my life probably 8 years ago, I still get goosebumps. Mm-hmm. I still get those shivers all the way up through my body, starting from my feet up to my heart and then to my mind. And it brings tears to my eyes, tears of joy and tears of gratitude for finding this work, for knowing what this journey looks like, and for the potential that it brings into your life, into this transformation. So it was very daunting at first. I like saying things straight up. I'm very transparent. I'm very authentic. It is challenging work because, and this was the reason why I paused and I hesitated to start doing the work, because one of the biggest questions that we're asked in the desire map process is, what's not working in our life and how is that making us feel? It seems so simple, but to actually answer that question as it relates to every single area of your life. And I love this process as well because it's a holistic approach. And the work that I do, you know, Amber, you were in the Desire Map for Business workshop with me. It's now morphed and changed because so many of my clients, they would go through the Desire Map for Business and they would go, oh, I actually need to do this in my personal life too.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. There is almost no way to disconnect those two elements.
Yeah. So I was like, why did I set my business up this way where I just allowed people to amplify only one area of their life and not the other areas? So it is now morphed and it's a much bigger program because it incorporates every single life area. So you're looking at livelihood and lifestyle. What's not working in terms of your space, your home, your work, your career, money, travel, sustainability. This is what's on everyone's mind right now as we're being asked to socially distance ourselves and in a lot of cases, socially isolate ourselves. Mm-hmm. And you and I were speaking of this before we started this podcast, how we're now made to share space with people for longer periods of time, and we're not used to doing that, and what these negative, somewhat consequence or ripple effect that can happen from that, and all of these feelings that are coming up from that of not having control in our lives, of, you know, where's the money coming in, not being able to leave our house, not being able to have our own space. So it generates a lot. We look at creativity and learning. And this is an area of focus for me right now. I am seeing this time as a major opportunity for growth, for me to, especially in my business, to work on my business instead of in my business. Yeah. I would love to be with clients right now. I would love to be hosting sister circles, but now's not the time for that. That can happen virtually, but on a smaller scale, because it's an opportunity for me to, you know, connect with my soul and look at my strategy and where and how can I pivot the offerings and the sessions and the teachings that I have that are more relevant to what's happening right now to be of service to the world.
Yeah, it's kind of a deeper connection to what it means to be responsive, right? Mm-hmm. And emergent with what's going on in the world. Mm-hmm. And just to speak to that as well, and I totally will allow you to continue explaining mm-hmm. those life areas. I just want to say that there is a paradox that we're holding right now where on the one hand, we're seeing that there's this elevated and heightened experience of suffering in the world. And for any one of us who is considered an empath, a highly sensitive person, whatever word you have for it, or just, you know, someone who just really friggin' cares, mm-hmm. cares about mm-hmm. this world, this beautiful, precious world, that can create a lot of grief and heartbreak. And that is really important to coexist with. And then the other side, because of the way that this has slowed down our economy, and a lot of us are asked to stay home and not be working, and unless, you know, some people it's different for healthcare workers, they're actually working more. Bless them. Mm-hmm. Hold space for them. Do whatever you can for your friends and family members who are in the healthcare system right now. But for those of us who are literally mandated to be at home and to slow down, this is actually the responsive part of us can actually tune into what you're talking about, like the creativity, right? The the creative projects maybe that you've been putting on hold and putting on hold and putting on hold and putting on hold because you haven't had time. Well, guess what? Your soul speaks to you through creativity.
Yeah.
And when you constantly are at capacity and you don't create space for creative energy to move through you, and, you know, for all of our listeners, I understand what that feels like. And I have been there more times than I'd like to admit in my life, where I've put that all in the back burner and I've just been a robot. Just go, just work, just survive, just make money. So I'm holding this paradox of like acknowledging the suffering that's happening right now. There's a great cost because of what's going on. And then embracing the slowness, embracing this increased opportunity for creativity and connection. Because if we can connect more deeply to ourselves, to our soul, then we're going to be able to show up for the world that is suffering in a hugely amplified way. Just, yeah, it's like I can feel the goosebumps of what would happen if everyone actually took this opportunity not to just Netflix and chill, but like pull out the paints and the mandalas and the music and the instruments and get into the writing and the journaling and get in here, ask the question, who is in here? This is what we learn and teach in intentional creativity is, you know, creativity is a pathway of access to our deepest truth, our internal guidance system. So thank you for speaking to that and for bringing that up. And thank you, Danielle Laporte and Desire Map, for prioritizing this for people. And with that, just would love you to continue and go through those life areas.
For myself, I just spent probably 3 hours last week doing the Gallup's Strength Finder test. So it's essentially a personality test that paints a picture for you of how you show up in the work that you do. And I used to do corporate team building for years. I was the facilitator. So for me, it was really cool to be on the other side and to have this map or this guideline of, like, you know, this 5-page document of telling me like who I am. And I'm very in tune and very aware and wake and awake, and but I still have a lot to learn. And so it was absolutely incredible, because I looked at it and I was like, wow, it showed me who I am in my business. You know, that I'm an ideas person, that I'm strategy. I am all about strategy. I'm very good at seeing the big picture in my own business and in other people's business, and then breaking it down, going from the macro to the micro. And it also showed me the areas, I don't like calling them weaknesses, but just things that I'm not really good at or I don't like doing. And so it's helped me decide the direction to move forward. And that was within 3 hours. I had major aha moments for $20, or maybe $20 US, but $30. Mm-hmm. And I've been meaning to do this probably for about a year.
And she finally did it.
And I finally did it. I'm like,
gold star, babe.
and I love it. I walk the talk, you know, that I'm encouraging my clients to do. And I love that I've been gifted this opportunity. And truthfully, when I looked at creativity and learning for myself, that life area, what's not working, what wasn't working is that I wasn't tapping into that life area. I love drawing mandalas. I probably haven't drawn a mandala in over a year. I love reading. I can't remember the time that I picked up a book for the sake of pleasure and not for the sake of business or learning, right?
Which is fair, right? Because in the pace that we're called to move at in our world and to stay competitive and just to stay at the level of where things are moving and flowing, we do often feel that in order to show up fully, we do have to be reading those books and up leveling our business and kind of staying ahead of the game, or at least with the game. And so it makes sense, like in a way, it's you were trying to honor what you've committed to, what you've been devoting to by doing those things. And it's just beautiful that now you can also honor like that part of you that maybe just wants to like read Harry Potter or do a Gallup survey.
Well, and I'm glad I did. The Gallup survey told me, showed me that I have to create space for myself to just think. And that is something that whenever I did do that, the guilt would come along with it. If I went and spent 4 hours at the river during a weekday, and I have air quotes happening right now because I work for myself, so there is no Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, but the guilt would show up because I sat at the river for 4 hours in the sunshine and I, you know, and my ego was telling me that I should be working. And just with that survey, you know, it granted me permission that no, this is who I am. This is how I operate. This is how I function optimally, is when I do gift myself that time to just think.
Yeah, it's incredible, actually, the amount of mind turbulence that has been occurring for me as well, and I think others, when I am just considering the slowing down. It's like I actually have to be giving myself permission right now to slow down. It is, I realize it's become that counterintuitive to me that when I'm actually forced to slow down, there's all these sort of levels of, I guess, like resetting or relaxing that I have to move through to that place where it actually gets down to, okay, can I let myself just read a book for a few hours? Can I let myself be out in nature for a few hours today when usually I would be working? Can I tap into a creative project and not feel that sense of urgency that I should be doing something more productive, air quotes for, as you can't see it, productive, right? So even in myself, someone who is very much a creative person, I mean, I thrive on creative energy. That's sort of what I'm about. I'm having another moment of pause here and getting to another layer where I recognize, oh, wow, there's a lot of stuff in my mind that is still within that productivity paradigm. And, you know, I honor that part of my mind. I honor that part of me for being a hard worker and showing up for what I am devoted to. And yet there's another part of me that I've almost forgotten, the part that can just sort of like luxuriate in life, just luxuriate in a moment and in a book and in a walk and not be ruled by the to-do list. Mm-hmm. And that's been an interesting, I would say it's almost like a restructuring that's happening for me in my mind, heart, body space right now. Mm. Yeah.
Beautiful. What's the next life area? Body and wellness. This is one that everybody should be putting as top priority right now. It is body movement, nutrition, food, exercise, rest, relaxation, sensuality. And I don't know about you, but there's been a couple of days where I feel like I've burned about 6 calories when it starts raining, and because we have to stay at home. And so it's about getting creative right now within that life area as well. And really, like, what's not working is, you know, our gyms are closed. We're the area that, for those of you who are listening, Amber and I live in Squamish. If you're not in Squamish, BC, like, we are literally like outdoor recreation mecca. And so everyone who lives here is, they're all hardcore about riding a bike or mountain climbing, mountain biking, or gyms. Like, we have so many gyms in our town. And you see the stress on people the day that they announced that their gym was closed. They were like, what am I going to do?
And the struggle is real. Yeah.
They're like, yeah, what's not working? It's like, well, and then, but again, and I go back to this, you know, the life area of creativity and learning. And, you know, when we talk about businesses, like the brilliance that's coming out and the pivots that people are making, you know, and they're showing up in ways to be of service to the world, all the free yoga classes, all the free fitness classes online to stay connected with other people, but, and to still keep doing what it is that we need to do in order to feel how it is that we want to feel. Yeah. So I love that. We have essence and spirituality as another life area. So this is our inner truths. This for some people could be a religious belief. For us in Squamish, it is getting outside and connecting to Mother Earth. There's so many people that join my workshops, and we get to this life area, and they say, "Oh, I'm not a spiritual person," and I ask them, "Oh, like, do you do something like yoga, or do you meditate, or do you use essential oils? Do you use crystals? Do you love being outside?" Right, and if they say yes to any of those things, then I say, you're a spiritual person. Mm-hmm. And especially the people, you know, those like the rock climbers, you know, or the kite boarders, you know, I'm like, you do that as a sport? Like, yes. And I'm like, you are a spiritual person. That is your meditation. That is your way of getting out of your mind and into your heart.
It's a moving meditation.
Yeah. And connecting to earth. And they're like, oh, I'm like, we just have these preconceived notions of what we think essence and spirituality should be. But when we, again, look at it from a macro level, if it's getting out of ego, getting out of our mind and into our heart, then it's a little bit more accessible for people, right?
Yeah. And I would also say that those people who do engage in sort of more extreme sports or athletic endeavors, this is perhaps also an opportunity for them to build a relationship with stillness and build a relationship with, you know, maybe what it means to go within in a different way as well. So I think it's an interesting time for those who do have their moving meditations that are always outside or with groups of people. The invitation is for something uniquely different at this moment.
Absolutely. Yeah. Last but not least, and one that everyone's being forced to work on right now, whether they want to or not, is relationships in society. So that's that's our family. Our friends, our community, you know, any groups that we belong to. For myself, I belong to a slow pitch community, you know, Amber's Red Thread Circle. If you attend those, that's a part of your community and relationships in society. Any causes that are near and dear to your heart. And this one is so challenging for so many people. And it goes back to that mantra, that sentence that I said earlier, what we say no to is just as important as what we say yes to. Mm-hmm. Many of us are people pleasers. Yeah. We just want to make everybody else happy, and we'll do it at the expense of our own health. We'll sacrifice tapping into an area of our own life that needs tending to in order to take care of somebody else. Or we'll stay in a relationship longer than needed because of the worry and the angst of the negative consequences that could happen if we do say no to that person, particularly if it's toxic, and particularly if there's a web of other people that are involved. If I say no to my father or my mother, and I have siblings and aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas, what does that look like?
Yeah.
If I say no to that one girlfriend that's within our group that we get together on every Friday night to have a dinner and have wine, but she's negative and she's toxic, if I say no to her, how does that affect my other three girlfriends? And real, like we're under a microscope right now, aren't we, in terms of those relationships.
All of this is very amplified in one way, because we have more time to actually be reflecting on how it is we want to feel, you know, because I'm not actually going to the circles right now, or mm-hmm. I'm not actually maybe needing to have contact with that person who I normally would, that I work with, that I feel is, you know, toxic, or someone that for whatever reason, every time I leave a conversation with them, I feel like, bleh. But interestingly enough, though, that microscope, I think, is more, and I'm sure that you'll agree with this, it's almost like the internal microscope of when you're sitting with yourself and you're like forced to be at home and away from people, these questions start to come up, or the almost like the relief for some of not having to be around certain people.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or realizing like, oh, this relationship I have with my job for the last 5 years is really unhealthy. I actually don't really love my job. Mm-hmm. And for some people, there's, you know, some economic and financial pressures that, you know, mean we continue to be working in positions we don't always love. And I so feel you, and I have been there, and may one day be there as well. Sometimes these things shift and go back and forth. But what I'm noticing right now is an opportunity again for us to have that spotlight shine for us on like what relationships are not feeling good or haven't been feeling good for a long time. And mm-hmm. I have a moment of pause here to really dig into that, and make some choices perhaps. Mm-hmm. We were talking earlier though about how it's funny that a lot of us are also perhaps at home for longer periods of time with our partners. And you were saying that your partner can like read your mind, you know, you were mm-hmm. going through something and he questioned you on it and you were like, no, no, no. And he was like, no, I know this is happening. And there's that beautiful, you know, intimacy and closeness. And I think another thing in this relationship area that this whole collective experience we're having is providing is a chance for us to be reconnecting to intimacy in a different way as well, with our partners and with our families, you know, with those who we call beloved, you know, with those who we deeply cherish, who perhaps we have actually had some distance from, like maybe too much distance, or maybe the intimacy part of your relationship has been falling apart because of busyness. But then when you are presented with this opportunity to spend increased time together, there can also be a lot of stuff that comes up, a lot of emotions that rise to the surface. And so just for anyone listening, if that is, you know, something you're experiencing right now, I feel you, I'm with you, I witness you. There is, you know, a lot that happens within intimate family relationships that can, yeah, be sort of, like I said, we're kind of in this, like, we're being sifted right now. And yeah, there's going to be some moments of not feeling completely amazing when you're at home with family and with loved ones. And that's okay. Let's just move through those with as much grace and compassion for ourselves and the other people around us as we can, while we're kind of holed up together.
Absolutely. Yeah. Whether we want to or not, we're being put in a pressure cooker to examine what's not working and to connect to your heart and really truly ask yourself how that's making you feel in all these areas of your life. So the desire map takes us through this process, and I like guiding people through the darkness first. You know, we live in a dichotomous world. I'm a huge Star Wars fan. So you all, if you love Star Wars and you love Yoda, and especially new baby Yoda like me, you know that light can't exist without the darkness. So we go to the dark side first. So we look at what's not working, and we really ask ourselves how that's making us feel in all areas of our life. So right now, for somebody that might, what this might look like is I'm being asked to not go to work, and therefore I'm not making any money. And that's making me feel anxious afraid, and like there's not enough. Mm. In terms of maybe my body, I'm not moving my body enough. I'm only burning 6 calories a day. How's that making me feel? Actually quite tired, exhausted, guilty. So really peeling back those layers and getting to our truths of the emotions of what's going sideways for you right now and what's not working. Because true change and transformation, it can't happen unless we finally have the courage to admit what's not working. And that takes time, my friends. That definitely takes time. My favorite part then is then shifting. So we go to the light side, we become a Jedi, and we start looking at what we're grateful for in all of those areas. And I've had a lot of laughs in my workshops. Someone who is now my ex, but he's still a really great friend, amazing person. He did one of my workshops and he was so nervous, and I didn't make him go. I just want to, you know, say that I did. And when he asked to come to my workshop, I said, I'm not making you go. This isn't me. The fight that we just had last week wasn't about you needing to do the desire map. And he said, no, I want to do this. I want to understand the process. I've seen how much change it has generated in your life, and I want that for myself too. And he believed that by doing this process, it would create a deeper connection with us. And it did. But the humor in it is, you know, he shows up and I said, I need to give you a heads up. You're going to be the only guy that's going to come. And so all the women are going to be ecstatic and excited that you're here. And he's like, you can tell, like men, right? They don't want the attention, right? And you could just see his, you know, anxiety like build. And he was like, don't make me talk. And I said, you don't have to share anything if you don't want to. That goes for anybody and everybody. But the women are going to be excited that there's a man out there that wants to connect to his feelings and emotions. So anyways, in this workshop, his question was, we're looking at one of the areas of life, and he goes, is it okay if there's something or someone that's in our life and they're in both categories? And I knew that he was talking about me because we were in relationships in society. He's like, and I was definitely in the what's not working, but what he's grateful for. And so, yeah. So I just said, I'm like,
real talk.
Yeah, I'm like, I can be in both categories. He got a little flustered and he was trying to hide it. And then he remembers I'm an empath. I'm a sensitive person. And I know how he's feeling and what he's thinking. And then, so he just owned it. And he's like, is that okay? And I'm like, of course it's okay. There's going, like, you probably love your house, especially, again, Amber and I live in one of the most beautiful places in the world. In Squamish, BC, we're surrounded by rainforest and rivers and mountains. It's beautiful. And a lot of us have some really gorgeous homes that we live in. So we can be extremely grateful for this right now. And it can make us feel joy and connection and abundance. But what's also not working is I have to be in this house, you know, mm-hmm. And maybe that bathroom that never got refinished, you know, is creating a sense of guilt or shame, or, you know, pushing us to make us feel like we have to stay in the masculine and do something about it right now.
Yeah.
So they can exist in both areas. So what are we grateful for and how does that make us feel? I have my health right now. I am so grateful that I have a strong immune system. I am so grateful that 20 years ago, I started not using chemicals and toxic products in my home. And that within the last 6 years, I've amped that up. And my immune system has never been stronger because of it. I'm not saying that I don't get sick. I'm not saying that there was this one magic thing that I did that helped it, but it was a whole variety of choices that has helped that. I'm so grateful for that. That makes me feel strong. Mm-hmm. That makes me feel like I have fierce faith in my choices and in my own health. So in the desire map, what we do is we take all of that group of feelings that were, you know, what we would deem as negative. And as a master desire map mentor now, I know that feelings aren't negative or positive. They're all just a compass for our soul. They're always just a signal in the GPS for, are you in alignment or are you out of alignment with your soul's purpose? Mm-hmm. So, but for the sake of this conversation, those negative feelings, like we, when we grew up, we were taught, you know, anger, negative, for example, frustrated, negative. We look at those negative emotions and we flip them to the bright side, because obviously we want to focus on feel good stuff, and what we focus on expands. So we flip them. So if right now, scarcity is how we're feeling, then perhaps the opposite of that, raising the vibration of that feeling, would be abundance. Yeah. Or if I'm feeling anxious, then perhaps the opposite of that would be at peace or calm. And so we choose the positive feelings from what's not working. And then we take all the positive feelings from what we're grateful for and how that makes us feel. And we have this giant list. And we start to recognize patterns within how it is that we want to feel. So maybe you did write down at peace, calm, serene. They're all very similar feelings. And so we choose, sometimes it's based on the definition. We contact the oracle as usual all the time, and we'll look up definitions of feelings. And sometimes we look at that definition because, and I'm preaching to the choir here, like, we're all emotionally illiterate. I just want to let everybody know that the majority of us, like,
thanks, Anne-Marie. Thanks for that.
Yeah, it's like, it's maybe not millennials and younger, because I've noticed a shift in parenting as well, where it is more common for us to talk about how it is that we feel in our homes. I see parents doing that and I absolutely love it. But for my generation and up, we did not. It was, you put your big girl pants on, big girls don't cry, and you move on and you carry on, because sometimes you have to. I talked to my papa about this a couple of years ago. I was working on the porch. I was writing my book, and Papa comes over and he's like, oh, you're working again, girl. And he brings coffee out for us. And he just starts sharing with me like intimate moments of his life. So when Papa does that, right, you set everything aside. And he tells me the story of when his father died. And he was very young. He was a 5-year-old boy. There was 4 of them in the family. So his mom had 4 children and they owned a farm. They had a lot of land. And I was like, wow, Papa, I'm like, I can't even imagine what it would have been like to be Grandma Grace at that time. I'm like, what did she do? And he said, what do you mean, what did she do? So how did she handle having 4 children and losing her husband and manage the farm? And he goes, she just did it, Anne-Marie, because that's what she had to do.
Right.
I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Well,
I'm like, right. I said, but I go, did she cry a lot? Or, you know, I'm like, because now I am who I am, right? Yeah, this someone who really values emotional intelligence. I'm like, did you guys talk about it? Did you see her get depressed? And he was like, no, you didn't see any of that.
Yeah.
We've been built for so long, for just so long, to not feel our feelings. Yeah. And it has cost us a great deal. So we get to the root of how it is that we want to feel. We take this big list of positive feelings and we come up with a small group of core desired feelings, usually 4 to 6. And these are your guidance system.
Yeah.
They are your yes and your no. You build a relationship with these feelings. You build out essential qualities that got you to choose this feeling, and essential qualities. And I love this. I've just started integrating these new activities and exercises into my workshops, where your core feeling ends up, you have an opportunity to write a poem about it or write a story about it. So say if this core feeling was to show up in your life as a character in the play of your life, what would that character look like? So getting creative with it. And
letting the muse take over.
It's been so beautiful. Like workshop participants, and sometimes this is just in like a 3-hour intro workshop, they've come up with one core feeling. And then I say, okay, let's build out essential qualities. And within 20 minutes, this woman shares a poem that she comes up with. She has tears in her eyes after. I put my hand on her shoulder and I said, that was beautiful. And she said, I haven't written poetry since I was a little girl, and I forgot how much I missed it.
Oh, wow. It's just so amazing how this kind of work can transform in an instant.
Yeah.
Really, like, it can connect you to who you are so powerfully. It's like long lost friend yourself shows up at the door, right? it's incredible. It's really, really powerful. And I can attest to that myself. I had those moments where I literally felt like a part of myself came to the door and was like, I'm back. I'm back. Yeah. And I'm here to stay. Thank you. Thank you for calling for me. You know, thank you for doing the work to call me back. And I wanted to say as well, the ripple effect of this work is that when you are emotionally literate with yourself and when you're connected to your feelings and to who you are at the soul level, you are able to be so much more compassionate and so much more aware of what other people are experiencing and going through. And it really changes the dynamic of how you relate to other people as well.
It does.
You know, we can't really be fully compassionate and present human beings with each other if we are blocked from our own emotional experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like empathy, we have an empathy problem in our world right now, a pretty significant one, because we are really disconnected and distracted from our emotional landscape, from, you know, this soul level being. And when you tap into that and you get back there, all of a sudden, like, you know how to really see people and witness them, and you know how to speak, and you also know how to listen and really hear what people are saying and identify what they're needing. And there's just like this attunement that happens when you do this work, when you really go into your core desired feelings and you get there and you abide there, you know, you stay there. So yeah, I just want to really thank you for giving presence to all of this and core desired feelings. And what's also coming to me when you were going through all of this, so I just want to go through the life areas again for our listeners, just to kind of bring them all together.
Mm-hmm.
Because wow, does this ever apply to our whole global collective right now? Lifestyle and livelihood, creativity and learning, body and wellness, relationships and society, essence and spirituality. Like these are areas of the collective life that need to be examined right now. And in a way, with everything that's happening and with the pandemic that we're experiencing, all of this stuff is actually we're being asked to look at it. Because what we're doing as a global community hasn't been working. We actually have also been cut off from a lot of these things in different, let's call them the life areas of the global collective. You know, when I even think about the earth and like what's happening with climate destabilization and so many of these things that are this like density and this low frequency that we're asking for transformation and we're like begging and praying and asking for this to shift. And it's like, yeah, well, all of these areas are now hopefully going to be in our awareness and under the microscope.
Thank you.
So another really interesting thread that I wanted to pull out that you were talking about was, you know, on this relationship level and the flip side of the negative emotion to the positive. And we're just using the language negative and positive because it's easy for people to understand what we're saying, but we don't actually think one is better than the other, just to clarify that. But you had been speaking to me earlier about how people are responding right now as well within this, let's call it what it is. It's like a global crisis. It's really activating. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of uncertainty. And there can be responses that come out from us because we're in those heightened states. And you had mentioned the conflict and drama triangle, and I'm really curious about what that looks like and how we can hopefully not be in the conflict and drama at this time. So tell us, Anne-Marie, how can we show up without being dragged in or falling into that sort of
fear?
Fear. Thank you. That's exactly it.
Yeah. This work, the Desire Map work, is strength training for our intuition. When we have our core desired feelings, when we know how it is that we want to feel, we have this guideline where we can operate from. Everything has a frequency. Everything has a vibration. And what's happening in the world right now is this call on collective consciousness for us to raise our vibration. People like Amber and I have actually been asking for it for a long time, and we were laughing how it's starting to show up, and we're like, oh shit, I don't know if I didn't mean like this, you know, like, did I manifest wrong? You know, was I not specific enough? But it is about having, knowing how it is that we want to feel. So I want to come from that place of connecting these dots. Okay. So my core feelings are, I am fierce faith. I am cosmic love. I am wild and free. Mm-hmm. I am Sri Yantra. These are my core desired feelings in my personal life. Sri Yantra means the embodiment of the divine masculine and divine feminine, that sweet spot where the cosmos meets body. Mind-heart connection. So when something like this arises, I've got a really strong intuition in terms of the choices that I'm going to make for myself. I know now that I have to take care of myself in order to be of service to the world. So I put myself first. We all should be doing this, especially mamas out there who are listening. If there's one message that I could get across, you know, in my lifetime, is that mothers, you moms out there, you come first. I know you put your children first, always. That's what you were told to do, but you actually need to put yourself first. That's how you show your children how to be independent. That's how you show them how to be compassionate for themselves. That's how you show them how to take care of themselves, by doing it for yourself first. Fill your own cup. That's how you be of service to others. So we build our own intuition. We strengthen our own compass for our soul and our choices. Events, which we have no control over, plus reactions, which we do have control over, based on our emotions and feelings, are what equal our positive outcomes. Our reactions, when we feel ourselves in the vibration and the frequency of fear, simply taking a deep breath, I am fierce faith. I am cosmic love. I am wild and free. I am Sri Yantra. What would the essential quality of those core feelings look like in my reaction to this situation so that I can have a positive outcome? When it comes to the conflict and drama, there is a triangle, and we can show up within this triangle in one of three roles: the persecutor, We see a lot of this online right now. For us who are self-distancing and self-isolating, you know, pointing a finger. I saw you four people in a car together driving up the road to go mountain biking. You're not supposed to be doing that right now. Shame on you, the persecutor. Hmm. The victim. Woe is me. I'm so hard done by. And a lot of people are feeling that right now. And sometimes, rightly so, for a moment, feel those feelings. Don't suppress them. Don't stuff them. Channel them and allow yourself to be scared for a moment. Allow yourself to feel that fear, to feel that scarcity. Take that deep breath, reconnect with your heart, and come back to that place of how it is that you actually want to feel.
Mm. Yeah.
The third, and we do this as women, as people pleasers, rescue. They're the rescuer. How can I come in and save the day? I'm exhausted. My kids are driving me batty at home, and maybe my husband too. You know, but I post online, hey, everybody, I'm going to go to the grocery store and I'm willing to pick up food for everybody else right now.
Yeah.
Persecutor, victim, rescuer. Now, I remember going to my counselor once for a check-in, and I said, honestly, I didn't want to come today. And she said, why not? I said, well, my life is going really well. And if I came to you, then I'd have to talk about all the shitty things again. and I don't want to. I just want to stay on top of this wave. And she said, well, Anne-Marie, tell me about all the things that you've been doing. And I said, well, I've been meditating and doing yoga on a daily basis. I've been journaling. I've been practicing gratitude. I use my essential oils. I take my core feelings. And every day, because we get what we give, and this is how the cosmos works, like throwing a ripple in a pond and watching the ripples go to the edge of the pond and then come back to you. In order to feel how it is that we want to feel, we show up and we gift those feelings to other people. So how can I make somebody else feel fierce faith today, or cosmic love, or wild and free, or Sri Yantra? So I've been making those choices. I've been setting intentions and goals with more soul to honor and support how it is that I want to feel. Moving my body on a regular basis, reading a book just because, not because I'm going to learn something from it.
Yay.
And she's like, those sound all wonderful. And she said, welcome to the next triangle. Welcome to the next level. I'm like, what? She's like, stick with me, my young Padawan. She knows I love Star Wars, right? And so then she introduces me to this next triangle, that instead of being the persecutor, we end up being able to show up as the challenger. Instead of being the victim, we show up as the creator of our own life. Mm-hmm. Instead of being the rescuer, we become the collaborator. And this blew my mind. I had no idea why we aren't sharing and teaching this to everybody in the world. Why weren't we taught this as children?
Yeah. Can you actually repeat what that is? Can you say that one more time? It's so profound and so beautiful.
The conflict and drama triangle is this. Instead of becoming the persecutor, you become the challenger. This is the conscious shifting from lower vibration to higher vibration in terms of a conflict drama triangle. Instead of the persecutor, you become the challenger. Instead of the victim, you become the creator of your own life. Instead of the rescuer, you become the collaborator.
Thank you.
And so she connected those dots for me, that because I was doing all the things, that I was able to up-level into this higher vibration triangle. And I wanted a way to share this with all of my clients in an experiential way, and in a way that can help them get to that triangle as well. And I don't like using the term biohacking. Like, I believe in doing the work, but I also believe in like speeding up the process. Okay. Cause we've got a lot of shit to do on this planet right now. And the world needs you more than you know.
Let's be efficient sometimes in our, our healing work. Yeah. It's not a bad thing. Some things are slow cooked and some things can happen pretty quickly if we're open to it.
Yeah. And now's the time for us to get our shit together. Like really. And what does that look like? And so I came up with something called the circle of self. And I did this because we are all taught to believe that selfishness is a bad thing. And I am here to tell you that it is not a bad thing. It is imperative. It is a must. It is something that I beg you to do and to learn, to be selfish. To be selfish in a way that is of service to others. We always think of selfishness as that narcissist, right? Selfishness for self-serving reasons. But the majority of us are not like that. The majority of us are the caregivers. The majority of us are in the feminine. The majority of us are the people pleasers. We're the rescuers. We want everybody else to be okay. Everybody else is not going to be okay unless you're okay. Mm-hmm. You have to take care of yourself first. Yeah. So the circle of self. The circle of self is about self-leadership, the premise of my work, understanding how it is that you want to feel. So emotional intelligence, learning how to have self-compassion, learning to have empathy for ourselves, self-love, self-care, have the bubble baths, paint your nails, sleep for 10 hours, drink 10 glasses of water a day. All of these things to create this beautiful circle for yourself that sets a positive energetic boundary that protects you. This goes back to what I said in the very beginning of our conversation. What you say no to is just as important as what you say yes to. Mm-hmm. It's creating space for your future. Having our core feelings, it strengthens that circle of self, knowing how it is that we want to feel, because something comes up and you can immediately say, does this make me feel fierce, faith, cosmic love, wild and fear, Sri Yantra? No, I'm not doing it. And it does end up becoming that easy. It takes some time. You know, it's taken me quite some time in order to get there. But again, that's why I chose to do this work. And that's why I'm building my business around it, because I want to help people elevate. I want them to level up. I want them to raise their own vibration. And I want to help them do that in the most efficient way possible. We talked about this, Amber, right? How it doesn't have to always involve all this pain and suffering.
Yeah. Sometimes it's really just a matter of choice, like choosing to become conscious. You can actually make that choice. And then there's guidance systems like the desire map process that really help us to accelerate and deepen that work. And I know at this point too, I want to encourage whoever is listening, especially if you have some more downtime right now, to honestly like engage with this as an opportunity to do some of this beautiful and powerful, you know, deep work with yourself. And I know that we're holding a paradox of, you know, sometimes it can be difficult as someone who, say, is a social justice advocate, an environmental activist, healthcare workers, you know, anti-poverty supporters. Like, there's so many ways that we show up where we're really trying to be equitable and we're trying to advocate for an equitable world. And it can feel really selfish sometimes. And I've faced this myself. I'm tying this to paradox, so just bear with me for a second. It can feel selfish in a negative way. And actually, I think that we're trained to feel selfish whenever we go inward and we take some time to take care of ourselves, especially women. You're so selfish if you take care of yourself. When we have these moments where there's spaciousness around us to practice self-care, self-compassion, and self-love in really kind of a big way, right? Especially if there is so much time that you have in your day right now to be engaging with something like the desire map or a creative project or taking that bubble bath that you haven't taken for a long time. I just really want to encourage us not to let the guilt and the shame voice come up that says, but other people are hurting and other people are suffering, so you don't deserve to feel good right now. Because what that paradox, it needs to be held. Like that paradox really needs to be something that we can walk with, where it's actually okay that you have this spaciousness right now. It's something that is just here. It's presented to you. It's at the door. So because it's an unexpected gift or potential of time, I really hope that we use that to sink in to this deeper work and to the self-care without any guilt or any shame. And knowing that, like Anne-Marie was saying, this kind of selfishness, quote unquote, is filling you up and filling you up and filling your cup to the extent that you become an abundant resource for other people in the world and an inspiration and an actual source that is not being depleted when you give, but is giving from the overflow of your cup. And that's something that I learned, right? Is like, we actually shouldn't be giving from our cup. We should be giving from our overflow. So this is an opportunity for I want to say, especially women I'm speaking specifically to, because I know that a lot of women are very overextended and have been in rescuer mode or caregiver roles, and who are craving deep, deep soul work and talking, having be able to have a conversation with yourself and like yourself again. You're craving that. You know, so I do see this as a moment where you can do that and it's okay. And it's your time, and you can get to that place again where you're overflowing, and maybe you haven't been overflowing for a long time. So this is a moment where abundance of time and space is your opportunity to just recharge, you know, really recharge. I think a lot of us have been running on fumes in our current socioeconomic experience. And I also think we're learning in this moment as well a deeper gratitude for what we have and to actually enjoy the things we have. Like some people have an art room in their house that they never use and a piano that they never play and recipe books that they never open, you know, and games that they never play as a family in their closets, and gardens that they don't actually tend to or grow anything in, garden beds because they don't have time. So, wow, isn't it an incredible moment to be able to tend to your own life? And I just wanted to offer that.
Beautiful. You've really touched on something that's important for everyone to remember right now, that as we're gifted this opportunity during this spiritual assignment to do this work. And if you're not sure what that looks like, focus on your inner child. Sometimes when I struggle with making changes or doing the work, or I'm in this space of out of alignment with my heart and my soul, sometimes I take that deep breath and I kind of talk to like Annie when she was 5 or like Annie when she was 10. And I have this conversation. I say, what do you need right now, my love? What can I do for you? And then I listen and wait for that response. Inner child work is so important in order for us to grow and expand, in order for us to understand how it is that we want to feel. And that can come from a place of how we didn't feel as children.
Yeah.
And have those conversations and do something super cool. If you're bored or you're not too sure what to do or what choice to make, you've declared to the universe, I want to feel joy during this hardship, during this difficult time. What does that look like? Consider what you used to love doing as a child. If it was doodling, doodle. If it was playing with Lego, play with Lego. If it was board games, board games. If it was creating choose your own adventure stories, then start illustrating and start writing. And connect to that younger version of you and reflect on how that made you feel after. And see if it, potentially that would be in alignment with one of your core feelings. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, the inner child, I think, in a lot of us is, especially when there is spaciousness or there is time for self-reflection, the inner child gets really giddy because she just wants to be heard. You know, she just wants to be listened to. So one of the things that we practice in my work in intentional creativity is we call like inviting your muse to tea. And I feel like it's often really connected to my inner child where, you know, you sort of maybe take out your journal and you actually write like, okay, right now I'm setting the stage in my imagination. I've made the tea, I've brewed it, it has lavender and rose petals in it, and I'm using the best china, and I've set places at the table, and there's roses in a vase, and I've invited my muse or my inner child over for tea. And she shows up, she gives me a big hug, she sits down at the table, she sips the tea, and then I ask the question, tell me what's going on with you. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? I'm all ears. And then you just like stream of consciousness, just write. Like, what is she saying? What is she, what wisdom, what information does she have to offer you that's going to show up? You're going to access because you're making the space and you're creating that invitation. And so that's just another way as well of just engaging with that part of us that I think a lot of us can probably agree we don't often make space for.
No.
We may want to, and there may be a lot of reasons why we don't always have those moments, but perhaps right now there is a moment for you to invite your muse or your inner child for tea and do this beautiful work of reconnecting with yourself, reconnecting with all life. Really, that's a big part of this too, is like we're actually connecting with the earth and, you know, the story that's unfolding here on the planet. We're a part of all of that. We're a part of everything that is happening. And part of it is like a delayering or a collapse. And then the other part is a rebuilding and a reimagining. And I know for me, like I really want to show up and be a part of the reimagining of life on earth right now.
Me too.
And how that life on earth is for people. I want all people to be able to experience joy and comfort and provision and abundance and safety and shelter. You know, it's again like that desire within me that I'm cultivating and those moments that I'm taking to care for myself, like you said, it's a stone that I'm throwing into the pond of existence, and I'm putting those ripples out, and I really want them to move and reach other people, and I believe that it will. So there's just this activation in me right now too, where I'm feeling there's a shift happening. And I really was happy to be bringing you on the podcast because I feel like you're so good at speaking to just what is really happening. What is really happening? And you're speaking about it through the lens of, you know, the experience of our core desired feelings, tapping into those and our emotions. And I just wanted to, as we kind of start to bring this conversation to a close, I wanted to just ask you, in your heart center, deeply loving perspective, what do you feel is being called for in this moment as a global collective, but also as individuals? How can we respond and how can we show up and be present for what is happening in our world right now?
What a good question.
Yeah.
When I think about this spiritual assignment and what's happening on a metaphysical and quantum level, to summarize it, Mother Earth has literally told us, go to your rooms, take a time out, and think about what it is that you've done.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do. Spend time with ourselves, as difficult as it is. Be alone. Be with yourself. Focus on your circle of self. Figure out how it is that you want to feel. What does that look like to feel that way? What choices can we make in order to feel at our best? What can we stop doing that isn't in alignment with how we want to feel? How can we gift positive feelings to other people? How can I raise my own vibration? Mother Earth is raising the vibration for us. We've been operating at about 7.83 hertz for a very long time. And now she's vibrating around 50 to 57 consistently, which is in alignment of the emotion apathy. We've been busy for far too long, my friends.
Yes.
She spiked to 170 and to 200. 200 is courage. 170 is pride. So it's time to set our pride aside and get the courage to make the changes within us. We always allow the ego to say to us, I'm just one person. How can I possibly make a difference? You are one person. And what you do makes a difference.
Yes.
It really does. And so do the work. Whatever that looks like for yourself, whatever feelings arise, please just feel them. Sometimes they're not always going to be your emotions. And I didn't start to realize this until very recently that I have this gift, but the gift comes with this burden and this weight sometimes where I feel other people's feelings and I process other people's feelings for them. So understand that sometimes what you're feeling isn't always going to be your feelings. It may be somebody else's feelings that you're sharing a small, intimate space with. And if you're feeling them too, then have the hard conversations. Talking about them. It's going to be awkward. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to get messy. And you're not going to like it at first. But it gets so much better.
Yeah.
It really does. And all of a sudden, before you know it, you'll have deeper, more authentic, creative connections with yourself and with other people than ever before. You'll be tuned in. You'll be in the flow. Mm-hmm. You'll start to understand because you spent time in the divine feminine instead of the divine masculine all the time. You've learned to create balance between the two, Sri Yantra. I think Sri Yantra should be everybody's core feeling.
It's a really beautiful time for that energy too with the spring equinox, because it's like a balancing of the masculine and feminine. It's the balancing point in an equinox between light and dark. Mm-hmm. And it's a really beautiful balance of energy to connect with when, I think also when we are facing uncertainty or crisis, because both those elements of the masculine and feminine really hold and guide us well when in balance through troubled times.
Yeah.
Well, I just honestly so deeply, deeply appreciate everything that you have shared with us today, and really your integration with this work, your integration with your soul, and the way that you bring your gifts to the world is so inspirational and it's so beautiful. And I bow to you, dear sister, for all that you are and all that you stand for. Yeah, thank you so much for speaking to us today. And I would love to give you an opportunity to share with our listeners some of the things that you have going on right now, ways that they connect with you, ways that they can connect with you. Mm-hmm. And also, if you are going to be offering some Desire Map workshops online or hopefully again in person in the future. So yeah, go ahead and let us know how we can be in communion with you.
Thank you. Primarily, I empower heart-centered entrepreneurs to discover how it is that they want to feel in order to avoid the stress and burnout and overwhelm, even if they don't want to talk about their feelings. But guess what? You end up talking about your feelings, but in a way that feels really good. Yeah. So at any time I work in that realm one-on-one and in small groups, and there'll be another, the Desire Map for Business is shifting to the Awaken Business Academy. So we'll be launching really soon in the next few months. And ultimately it's a mashup of the Desire Map 2.0 because we're expanding that program as well, along with the Desire Map for Business, which integrates the principles and theories of the Desire Map, but through the lens of just our business and hyper-focusing on the work it is that we do that we're putting out into the world. So right now I can work one-on-one, or in a couple of months you can join us for a group session. When it comes to doing the Desire Map on a personal level, again, one-on-one, what I prefer and what I love is when women gather their people.
Mm.
It's just so much more powerful if we do this work with our soul family and our loved ones. So that way we're all learning the language of the universe together. And it doesn't feel as alone. So at any time, you can connect with me, gather a couple girlfriends, and we can map it out to look however it is that you want to look like. Maybe you want to set it up like a book club, or maybe you want to do an extremely deep dive and have your group get together with me for 12 sessions to really exfoliate and peel back those layers to get to the heart of how it is that you want to feel and to generate some nourishing thought forms, some intention, some goals with more soul to honor and support how it is that you want to feel. We have also with Shevolve sister circles that we were gathering in person. We have shifted to virtual. So that is the second Thursday of the month. Usually was going to be in Vancouver, and the third Thursday was going to be in Squamish. But stay tuned because we'll announce what the virtual dates are going to be. And perhaps instead of having multiple circles, we'll just gather in larger groups. Mm-hmm. And I love, love, love doTERRA essential oils to help people with their emotional intelligence. When you're asked to feel your feelings for the first time, it can be really hard and really challenging. And so emotions have frequencies and vibrations, and so do essential oils. And so I love connecting the dots and guiding people through wellness consultations to make recommendations in terms of essential oils that can help them feel how it is that they want to feel. I also do just one-off sessions with people. So a lot of my clients who have done the Desire Map work with me, they'll contact me and say, I'm out of alignment with my core desired feelings. Let's connect for an hour or two. Or sometimes it's to do things like really work with one particular emotion, like forgiveness. And we'll go through, some deep questions. We'll do some guided meditations. And another one has been shame. Another one has been guilt. So at any time, as you're doing this work, or you know that you have a block or a challenge to overcome, then that's a great time to work one-on-one with me as well. Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you so much. I feel like there's a lot for people to dig into.
Mm-hmm.
And there is also a lot of great resources on your website. And for anyone interested, that's annmariemckenzie.com. So ANNMARIEMC. K-E-N-Z-I-E, annemariemckenzie.com. I will include that in the show notes, as well as any other links and resources that Anne-Marie sends to me, so that you can all engage and reach her in the days and weeks to come. And yeah, thank you so, so much for being here, Anne-Marie. I am really excited that we've been able to make this conversation happen. And just before we close, I wanted to read another beautiful quote from the lovely Danielle Laporte, who we both so cherish. I really, I honestly want to say that Danielle Laporte is someone who, for so many years, like since 2013, has been a go-to person for me for inspiration and sort of grounded wisdom, because there's a lot of, let's call them like spiritual or new age teachers out there, and I have had such a hard time resonating with most of it. I'm kind of like a no bullshit person, and I also I'm connected to some like more mystic feminine traditions. And so a lot of the stuff that is out there is just not, hasn't really resonated for me, but there's just, I feel like Danielle Laporte is just this universal open channel and really, truly a gift. And she is really someone that I go to often for beauty, I would say, just for beauty. So with that said, consider that you radiate at all times. Consider that what you're feeling now is rippling outward into a field of isness that anyone can dip their oar into. You are felt. You are heard. You are seen. If you were not here, the world would be different. Because of your presence, the universe is expanding.
I'll have what she's having.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to another wonderful medicine conversation on I'll Have What She's Having. It's been so lovely to have you here and have your support. Thank you for continuing to listen to this beautiful little podcast. The music that you heard in today's episode was Ocean View by Karma Cat, Ophelia by Les Hayden, and Diella by Karma Cat. If you enjoyed what you heard on today's podcast, consider going to Apple Podcasts and leaving a review. It is always very helpful to have a positive review and someone sharing their personal experience with how these medicinal conversations have impacted them. Thank you again so much for coming back and listening. And I certainly hope that you are all doing well while you are maybe holed up in your homes with your families, or even if you're alone. I'm hoping that podcasts are a good source of nourishment and inspiration and comfort for those of us who are not having as much social contact as we usually do right now. So honoring each one of you in your individual experience, sending so much love from my heart to yours, and really, truly believing that we are in a space of sifting, that we are in a place where there is both collective suffering and there is collective transformation. And I am believing in a more beautiful world, one that we are going to co-create together.